Dear congregation of Jordan, I did not extend a welcome, and I should do that even now yet as I looked at the bulletin, and it is a joy for me to minister the word to you this day. Now, the word that comes to us this day is based on our text or verses which deal with groanings. And as you know, there are many, many groanings to be heard in this world of today, particularly in many parts and places of this world. Groanings that are the result of outbursts of calamities and consequent sufferings. Perhaps even groanings silently expressed by some of us here. I'm delivering this particular message partly on account of the things that we read of and that we hear by way of the news broadcasts, the news of threats of war and of counter-threats as well, of killings and of earthquakes and of huge fires in some parts of the world, as for instance Australia, and of other calamities and accidents, also the accident of a passenger plane being shot down a few days ago in Iran. This past week, one of our former pastors of the Free Reformed Church was also buried. He fell, and his injuries led to his death. At the same time, when I received the message about this former pastor dying or having died, I received notice from one of our congregations in Alberta, Monarch, where an 18-year-old girl on her way to school, driving on the highway, was hit straight on by a truck and was killed instantly. Certainly, there is much suffering in this world of ours today, and there are many people groaning because of such suffering and because of such loss. Needless to say, your and my sympathies should be for them, and no doubt also as Christians, we will do what we can to pray for those who have lost loved ones, to speak words of comfort if we can and have opportunity to alleviate their sufferings. But there is another sort of groaning that we might not be alert to, that we might not be aware of at all, because, and if we would understand more about it, we will have a better understanding why there is so much groaning going on in this world of today. Why is there so much groaning? Our text verses speak of this sort of groaning, which I want to call a threefold groaning. Therefore, as title and subheadings for this message, let us consider God's word alerts us to a threefold groaning. First, groaning by the creation. Secondly, groaning by the believer. And then thirdly, groaning by the Holy Spirit. The congregation, you might be rather surprised to hear that the whole creation is groaning. And the word for groaning here is a special word. It is used also for a woman in childbirth. This is why it says travaileth right after as well. She groans both because of pain and the hope that shortly that pain will be over and she will see new life. Well now, our text says that the whole creation groans like that. It means a groaning both of pain and of anticipated hope for new life. This is why, as I said already, the term travaileth also is added to it as well. Now, what does it mean here when it speaks of the whole creation groaning here? We know, of course, that God created all things. He created the heavens, he created the earth, he created the sea, he created all that is to be found on this earth and in the sea. God also created the animals, he created the angels as well, and he created mankind. God, therefore, created everything. but does everything and does everyone groan in the fashion described above? That is, groaning both of pain and of anticipated hope. Well, what is meant then here, first of all, by the creation? We know that God, that this cannot possibly mean that the angels in heaven are groaning in that way. They are not in pain, they are not in distress. We also know that the ungodly cannot groan in that fashion either, because they might be in present pain, but they have no anticipated hope for a better, a new life. Neither must we think of the believers here when our text speaks of the creation, because the believers will be spoken of shortly afterwards in the next verse. So what then is meant specifically with the whole creation groaning? Well, what is meant by it is nature, the skies and the earth as you and I see it, the mountains and the rivers and the seas, the landscape, the grass, the trees, the flowers, earth itself and its animals that are on the earth. All of that here is called the creation, and this whole creation is groaning in pain and also in anticipated hope for new life. Well, you say, I don't hear nature groaning. I don't hear the mountains or the rivers or the forests groan like that. Well, that might be so. But God hears it. God hears it. I have proof of that as well. A number of Bible passages will tell us if we read, for instance, in Psalm 96 and Psalm 98 and in Isaiah 35, that the trees can rejoice and that the floods can actually clap their hands and that the wilderness can be glad and that the mountains and the hills can burst forth in song, even if you and I cannot hear those noises from these various quarters of the creation, God can hear it. And he does. And he hears the creation groaning. In Jeremiah 12 and verse 11, for instance, we read of the creation and of God himself speaking of it. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. Now, why would the creation groan in the ears of God? Why would the creation express pain and anticipated hope for new life at the same time? Well, because creation also bears the marks of sin and suffers the destruction that sin has brought onto it. The land, you see, is as it were in pain. The mountains have cramps. The trees are parched. Why? Because of what the curse of sin has done to all of it. You see, when Adam willfully became a sinner in the Garden of Eden, it affected not only his heart, it affected not only his life and that of his children and grandchildren and future generations, but it also affected all of nature. God pointed Adam, for instance, to the soil that he was standing on, and he said then to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And ever since sin entered into the world, all of nature has had to suffer. This is why it says also here in our text, chapter verse 20, for the creature, referring there to the creation, for the creature was made subject to vanity. And this is why there are earthquakes, why there are tidal waves, why there are hurricanes and famines and other natural disasters. It is creation groaning, you see. This is why the flowers die. This is why the leaves fall from the trees as well and wither. This is why the animal kingdom is so divided and many are prey to the more ferocious beasts. It is creation, nature, groaning. Creation is in pain because of the curse that was brought on upon man due to sin. Creation groans in the ears of God in pain, but also in anticipated hope for new life. Creation, nature itself, cannot wait until the day when all things will be renewed. It cannot wait, especially for the moment when all of God's people will show up renewed. Verse 19 of our text chapter therefore says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature, that is creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." And to say it very simply, congregation, all of creation is, as it were, craning its neck, hoping to see the day coming that all of God's people will appear at once. Nature, creation, called here the creature, is groaning, anticipating that day soon to come. Now, why would creation be so interested in that day, you might ask? Well, verse 21 of our text chapter says it, "Because the creation," or the creature, "itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." You see, creation itself wants to be set free from the curse that man's sin has brought on it. Creation itself is, as it were, reaching out for that great day when there will appear a new heaven and a new earth. Creation itself, you see, is tired of diseases and disasters and death and corruption and destruction. Creation is therefore waiting for the day when the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead him. Creation is waiting for that. It is waiting for that day when none can hurt, shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. Creation, you see, itself is looking forward to that day when righteousness and peace and knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so again, creation itself is groaning, groaning like in childbirth, groaning in pain in the present, and groaning in anticipated hope for the future. And God in heaven hears such groaning of creation. As evil and wickedness escalates also in our time, dear people, as sin and immorality and licentiousness increases with leaps and bounds in our day and age, all of them, you see, are like birth pangs. No, they are like death pangs. Not death pangs, rather, but they are birth pangs, as John Calvin has so quick to remind us of it. Creation is groaning as if in labor, and soon the end will be there, and a new beginning will be at hand. Now, think of this, congregation. How loud do you think is this groaning already in the ears of God, especially in your and my age of today? How loud do you think it is in the ears of God? How near are we to that universal birth? How close are we at the end of times? Are the labors and the travailings not happening more rapidly? Is it minute? Are we almost at the end? Well, we do not want to make any predictions, because God the Father only knows. But you and I, we are to be watchful for that, aren't we? When the Lord himself does not give us a date, but when he says, for instance, in Matthew 24, "When nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, all these are the beginning of sorrows." Travails. When we see such things happening around us, let us, you and I, let us be alert to it. Let us be watchful of it as well. And let us recognize this as to what it means when the Bible says that all of creation is groaning. But then listen. God hears more groanings. And not only from creation, but we must see this in the second place, groaning also from believers. We read in our text, verse 23, and not only they, speaking of the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. God in heaven also hears the believers groaning. Now, why would believers be groaning? Well, because they too, like the creation, are in pain because of the effects of sin, and they too are anticipating hope for new life. The believers, near in our text, they are described as people who have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you see, has begun a good work in them. He is broken, as it were, into their lives. From hardened or foolish or careless sinners, he has made them into repentant sinners. He has infused a new nature into them, a new nature that wants to serve God, a new nature that wants to obey his word, that wants to walk according to the words of his law. He has infused into them a new nature that loves to love God and wants to hate sin. A new nature who wants to do what is the will of God and according to God's good pleasure. But that new nature, you see, has some enemies to contend with. It has an old nature to overcome and to mortify and to crucify it. It has sin to battle against, and it has a devil to oppose and to resist. And so that new nature infused by the Holy Spirit has some battles to fight, and it has some struggles to bear, and also some pains to endure. And such battles and struggles and pains cause believers to groan within themselves. Such a person, and perhaps you can identify with such a person, but such a person knows of the struggles between the new nature and the old nature. The old evil nature, you see, can be so lively in him yet, and can still give such rough times. The old nature, yes, it has to be put to death. Old desires do have to be put down. Old lusts and old likes have to be cut out. That at times can be painful to the extreme. And because the old nature doesn't want to lie down and play dead yet, the old nature can often be so lively yet, can it be? So aggressive yet at times. And what a struggle and what a pain that can bring on. And that can make you groan within yourself, can't it? And dear people, don't you find that within yourselves too? That sometimes you feel the groaning? Well, let's listen to one who has expressed that groaning in words. And it is the Apostle Paul, and it is to be heard in the previous chapter, Romans chapter 7. There you also have one who has the first fruits of the Spirit, who has that new nature infused in him. But at times, it seems like it is a losing battle. And in pain, Paul is forced to cry out, Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from this old man, from this old nature? And if it wasn't for the words that followed right after this particular lament, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we would have thought indeed that Paul would have lost the battle. But there, in chapter 7 of Romans, is a believer groaning within himself. Do you know something of such groanings as well, dear people? Something of that struggle between the new nature and that old nature. The struggle against sin. The necessity to be constantly alert for those sneak attacks of the evil one through such delicate temptations. Do you know something about that? Do you know something about the pain of having to put down that old nature? The pain of seeing it rising up sometimes with such glaring powers? Do you know something of that pain of having to resist the inclination to lie or to cheat or to lust? Or the pain of having to confess again and again to God to have fallen into this or that particular sin? Or is it no pain to you? Do you know something of the powers of Satan? Something of the subtle attractions of sin? And then having to say no to it, having to close your eyes to it, as Job once said. You see, that old nature, it doesn't want to die all that quickly, does it? And if it wasn't for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it wasn't for the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us, that old nature would soon boot out that new nature very quickly from us. Meanwhile, it makes us groan within ourselves, doesn't it? There are pains, there are birth pangs. But if we do have the fruits of the Spirit, there is that anticipated hope for what is yet to come. And what is yet to come for the believers, what is it then that makes him still groan within himself? Our text tells us he is waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Any believer who is at all spiritually sensitive to the difficulties and the pains and the sorrows encountered in trying to be a living Christian will also know something of the hope and of the perspective that the days, that one day, all those difficulties, all those pains, and all those sorrows will be over and done with. One day, that body of mine will do perfectly what that new heart is telling me what to do. One day, that flesh of mine and that mind of mine, which so often now yet puts me to shame by giving in to sin, will one day be untouchable by sin, will one day be perfectly holy with no struggles whatsoever against the old nature anymore. When will that be? When will that be? At that great day of the Lord's return, called in our text the adoption, namely the day of the redemption of our body. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of that great day for which believers are groaning. And you can read of that in Luke chapter 21. And I quote, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption," the adoption, "is draweth nigh," the redemption of our body. What a day that will be, dear people, when my righteous soul will live in a righteous body. That cannot be said at this moment yet, because I still serve God most imperfectly yet. Now it is still a struggle, as the Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 7, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But then I will live perfectly. I will serve God perfectly. Then my will and your and my actions shall be in perfect harmony, because then your, my body, as well as my soul, shall have experienced full and perfect redemption, full salvation, complete adoption. What a marvelous perspective that is, dear people. That is for all who've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is still a struggle, and sometimes it may even seem like a losing battle, but it is not a losing battle whatsoever. Christ takes care of it. Even in this dark and sin-splurged time, we can say, therefore, with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The battle has been won by him, you see. And that has been won way back when he hung on that cross and when he declared, it is finished. The battle has been won. And he has gained the victory. And therefore, your and my struggles against sin are not in vain. There is a better day coming. I do not need to lose heart whatsoever. I do not need to lose any sort of confidence. Although you and I must groan every once in a while, yet the redemption, the adoption of my body, it is coming near. Why? Why may I be so confident in this? Because there is yet another groaning as well, as you must see this in the last place, the groaning of the Holy Spirit. But before we listen to that, let us sing from Psalter number 221, all the stanzas. And why does the Holy Spirit groan? Well, because he too is in pains to help the struggling believer in his, in her infirmities. The Holy Spirit groans like the creation and much like the believer. The very same word is used here. It is the groaning of labor, the groaning at childbirth, the groaning of birth pangs, with the anticipated hope that soon new life will appear. Now, how must we then understand the function of the Holy Spirit here? Perhaps I can give you a weak, and yes, it is an imperfect example, but let me give it to you anyway. The Holy Spirit is somewhat like a young man, a father-to-be, who is assisting his wife in giving birth to their child. This young man is right there with his laboring wife, holding her, assisting her, comforting her, encouraging her. Her labor pains become his labor pains somewhat. Her struggles become his struggles somewhat. Her pressure and her tension become his pressure and his tension somewhat. He groans, her groans, as it were, become his groans. And oh, what a relief it is, isn't it? When the birth is over and complete, and the new father can hold the precious newborn infant in his arms. Well, now, I do see some similarities here in this young man, this father-to-be, with the Holy Spirit. Imperfect, as I said, with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, he is also very near to each struggling believer. He knows the labors and the pains of labor that belong to a believer. He knows the pressures and the tensions that the Christian must endure in this life. But he is right there. He's right there with each struggling, laboring believer, assisting, comforting, encouraging, and doing more than what any young man could do for his wife who's about to give birth. He, that is, the Holy Spirit, he, as it were, embraces each laboring, struggling child of God. And with them, he groans then to the Father in heaven with words that you and I cannot even hear. But he prays and he intercedes, as we are told, with groaning How long yet, O God? When will it be over? When will we see that new life? When we will see the redemption of these bodies? And so, dear fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember this. It is the Holy Spirit that, after all, is there with us and for us. And let that be of great comfort. Let that be of great encouragement to each and every one of us who have come to faith in Christ. Because in your infirmities, in your struggles against that old nature and against sin and against the devil, the Holy Spirit is there to help you and to strengthen you. And as you pray for help to overcome this sin or that sin, the Holy Spirit even knows that such prayers are sometimes so difficult for you, and He is busy then assisting you in your praying. And He makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered, so we are told in our text here. But those prayers, they reach the throne of grace. And His groanings are therefore heard by God in heaven. And that for sure. Because if God hears the groanings of creation, that creation wants to be redeemed. If He hears the groanings of the believers groaning to be redeemed, would the groaning of the Holy Spirit not guarantee the ears of God Almighty? Most certainly, the Lord God in heaven hears the threefold groaning, and He is coming. He is coming. And He is coming soon as well. And then the labors will be over. Then the travailing will be done with. And then new life will begin with perfection. Therefore, as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says it so beautifully, even as we, you and I, might still be groaning, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Blessed be our eternal triune God for hearing, understanding, and also blessing us in our groanings, because there will be redemption for all those who believe on Jesus Christ and have the first fruits of the Spirit. And is that not a word for you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Isn't this a word for you, as you know, of groanings, pain, if you are groaning because of fears of what is happening in the future? Why not turn away from your sin, and by turning away from your sin, repent of them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not look to Him? As Christ has said, "And I, if I'm lifted up, will draw all men to me." He, the Lord Jesus Christ, dear young friend or older friend, you do not know Him yet. He is the one that will draw you and will save you, and so that you too will have a future like those described of the believer. That is eternal life, a blessed life, a new nature, holy to the Lord, and a future that is beyond any description and beyond any of our understanding. May that also be yours as well. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O gracious and merciful God, we thank Thee that Thou art the one who hears the threefold groanings of the creation, of the believer, and of the Holy Spirit. And that Thou art the one who gives us all we need so that we may experience that gracious adoption, that redemption, that one day we may live upon a renewed earth, that we may live with perfection, and that we may live with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and the Lord Jesus Christ being our brother. Lord Jesus, we look forward to that day. Bless us, we ask, as we leave the sanctuary, as we fellowship with one another. Bless all that requires your blessing in terms of the teachings that will occur. Bring us home safely and bring us back again later on this day in order that we may worship thee again. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.